is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
We know you're a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We greet all of you, even those of you who are worshiping with us online. We thank God for you today. St. John chapter 20. Gospel according to John chapter 20. We pray that you hear what the Holy Spirit says to you today. And I believe it lines up with this worship encounter. And so I thank God once again for confirming His move by giving His message. Amen. St. John chapter 20, and want to read, begin reading at verse number 30. St. John chapter 20, begin reading at verse number 30. The Bible reads like this, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, while believing, when you believe, you might have life through his name. Grass withers and the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall last and stand forever. Amen. We want to speak from this thought this morning. He made a believer out of me. He made a believer out of me. He made a believer out of me. I used to be one who was a non-believer, but I kept living, and I did not die. And I can testify today that he made a believer out of me. I was sick, and he healed me. I was lost, he found me. I was broken, he put me back together. In poverty, he provides. At some point in my life, he made a believer out of me. When I was alone, he was my comfort. When I was out, he brought me in. I did not know him, but he knew me. And my testimony this morning, he made a believer out of me. I played church a long time. I laughed at folk who shouted and spoke in tongues. I sat in that back pew and didn't know all that was going on. But I kept on living, and I did not die. And the very thing I used to laugh at, I began doing. I could not keep it to myself. Somehow, some way, he made a believer out of me. I know I'm not the only one this morning who has that same testimony, that at some point in time in your life, God made a believer out of you. You were on the fence about whether or not he still answers prayers. You were on the fence about whether he still opens doors. You were on the fence about can he do what he says he can do. And you messed around and woke up one morning, and he made a believer out of you. I wish I had some witnesses here who know what I'm talking about, that you didn't always believe. You didn't believe that he would make a way. You didn't believe that he could lift you up. You didn't believe that he does miracles. You didn't believe that he'll pour blessings upon you that you would not have room to receive. But you messed around and became a witness. And now you can say he made a believer out of me. This is personal now. This ain't for everybody. This is for folk who know that you know that you know. He's a way maker. He answers prayers. He's a bridge over troubled water. He'll feed you. He'll clothe you. He'll protect you. He'll provide. He'll lift you. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll guide you. He made a believer out of you. And we want to come today to help somebody who's on the fence today. Because Big Mama had a way of saying this, that sometimes you don't believe fat meat greasy. You don't believe sugar. And you sooner or later, some going to make you believe in what I'm trying to teach you. Then she told me, keep on living, boy, and don't die. And you'll see why I praise him like I do. You'll see why I glorify him like I do. You'll see why I keep this Bible open. You'll see why I got my hands lifted, because he made a believer out of me. I wish I was talking to believers today. I'm not talking to church folk. I'm talking about folk who believe in the power and the presence of the Most High God. I know we're in a world that you're dealing with so much. I know that you're starting to believe more in the doctor than you are in the great physician. You're starting to believe in your job more than who is the provider. But I dare somebody to still make sure that you know who really provides for you. Who is the source of your strength? Who is the source of your healing? All those other people, all those other things are resources, but there's not but one source of your strength. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and made the earth. Today you ought to know who you trust in. Who do you believe? You believe God. You believe more in what you feel. Somebody today is being fooled by their feelings. Whether you feel good, you're being fooled by that. If you feel bad, you're being fooled by that. And some of us who feel good this morning, we're really being tricked because we don't think we need him when we feel good. Oh, but if you're feeling good, you need him to help you keep feeling good. And if you're feeling bad, you ought to need to keep me until you make me feel better. No, everything is not the way I want it to be. No, it's not. All my I's ain't dotted. All my T's are not crossed. I wish I had two people who don't mind standing with the preacher and say, no, I'm in church, but my life is not perfect. I've got some storms you don't know about. I got some public pain and some private issues, but I'm here in the presence of God, trusting him to make a way again. Because I learned a long time ago, he can make a believer out of you. And we got to stop. I know it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating. I know it's agitating. Because it's tough when you know folk's story, and they act like they don't know their own story. I see about 5 or 6 examples right now. I shouldn't be able to go on with service today. You should be tearing up the chairs for all that God has done in you, for you and through you. And it mess you up sometimes how folk can sit for an hour and come in God's house and don't lift their hands and don't say thank you, Jesus. That's all right. That just means you don't believe yet. But keep on messing around. Sooner or later, you go shout. Sooner or later, you go dance. Sooner or later, you go lift your hand. He's going to make a believer. Yes, he will. 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 I ain't asked you if you church folks today. I ain't asking about your position today. I ain't asking about your assignment today. I'm not even asking about your anointing today. I'm asking you, do you really believe? And ladies and gentlemen, we are in a season where it's going to be made evident whether you believe or not. Your walk with God is going to be shown by how you handle the hits. Anybody can be a believer with stuff you prepared for. But I think I'm talking to people who've been hit by some stuff that you could not prepare for. You can plan for. It wasn't on your agenda. Was not on your calendar. You didn't see it coming. And you got blindsided by life. And what do you do when God is the one who caused it? Because God wants to see, will you trust me on the land and then trust me on the sea? Oh, Lord. Anybody can believe in calm, but can you believe when everybody going crazy? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. That's all right. Keep your mouth stuck out. It's all right. Be arrogant. It's all right. Be judgmental. It's all right. Point your finger. It's all right. Sooner or later, he'll make a believer out of you. And when you become a true believer, you ain't worried about her. You ain't worried about him. You ain't studying him. You start giving him glory. And no matter what they say, no matter what they do, when you become a believer, yeah. Some of us got our toes in the water. You're testing it. Playing the hokey pokey with the Lord. You put your right foot in. Right foot out. Put your right foot in, then you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around. And still ain't a believer yet. But you hang around because you know it's something to this God. But it's something to him. I don't know if I really want to commit to that. They go laugh at me. They're going to judge me. I done talk so much mess about them. I done kill their character so much. I done lied on them so much. So I'm tipping my toe in. Because if it's too hot, you're out. If it's too cold, you're out. And so you want the water to be just right. When you're a believer, you learn to swim no matter what temperature the water is. Oh, Lord. John writes this gospel. It's not one of the synoptic gospels. It's his own gospel. He talks about Jesus being not just Son of God, but he talks about Jesus being God, the Son. John emphasizes on who Jesus is more so than what Jesus does. Those other synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talked a lot about the stuff that Jesus did. Over 35 recorded miracles of what Jesus has done. John says, I'm fast-forwarding through that because sooner or later people need to know who he is. Because he gets so hung up on what he does when he don't do what you want him to do. Oh. John said, I need them to see who he is. So he only limits what he writes in just to a limited basis and spends more time telling us who he is. That's why throughout John's gospel, you see a lot of I am quotes. Y'all missed it. Not I'm about to do. You see a whole bunch of I am. Y'all missed it. I'm trying to make this simple for you. In John's gospel, John says, I got to push this thing beyond what he does and then start focusing on who he is. Can I help somebody today? Many of us are frustrated with relationships and frustrated with people because they do stuff, but we don't know them. And you base your love and your faithfulness and your commitment on what they do and have no idea who's in your. And that's how we end up with booger bears and Jezebels and get messed over because they do so much and we never took time to see who they are. And John says, I need you to have a real relationship with him, because if he never does another thing for you, he's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still worthy of the praise. He's still worthy of the honor. See how y'all shut down right there? Because he got to be more than paying your bills. He's got to be more than making you feel good. He's got to be more than your lawyer in the courtroom and your doctor in the sick room. He's got to be more than that. He's got to be God. Understand, he's not, Jesus is not, the Lord is not a glorified bellhop. Fix my life. Heal my child. Fix my situation. Help my heart. Fix this headache. Oh boy, I do what I want you to do. No, that ain't who he is. That's not who he is. That's not who he is. And we messed up our theology about who God is. He's not some social service worker for us. And we messed up in this society thinking he just got to do something for me. And if he don't do what I want him to do, he's not my God anymore. Yeah. John says, I want to show you who he is. And so Jesus says often, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the way. All these I am statements he makes in John's gospel to show us who he is. Because John realized all these folk reading these gospels don't know who he is. They just know what he does. John says, I need to make a believer out of you. Because matter of fact, in chapter 20, Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene. He's appeared to his disciples one Sunday, and one of his disciples, Thomas, wasn't there, and so he didn't believe because he wasn't there. And he's so much of a God, he showed up next Sunday because Thomas says, unless I see the print on his hands and touch the side, I will not believe. And so Jesus said, okay, you seem to have forgotten who I am. And so I'm going to show up again next Sunday when you miss church, when you want to watch the ball game, because you was too busy to come see me. I'm so much of a God, I'm going to show you grace and mercy and show up again. Y'all missed your shout. Because there were some days you and I were too busy. We were too occupied. We were too mad. We were too angry. We're too hostile to hear from God and see him, but his grace and mercy showed up one more day and allowed you and I to see him again. Okay, I thought I was talking to real people. Everybody in this room didn't see him the first day. It took some seasons. It took some mistakes. It took some ups and downs for you to see him. Oh, but now since you met him, you know him for yourself and you made up in your mind, I ain't leaving him ever again. Mm-hmm. So he said something interesting. He showed up the next Sunday and said, come here, Thomas. Now, how did the Lord show up and recite what Thomas said and he wasn't there? Because Thomas said this in a locked door. Now, here's the problem. I'm not all the way mad at Thomas, because Thomas didn't necessarily doubt Jesus. He doubted who was telling him. It's not so much I got a problem with the Lord. It's the folk who've been telling me about the Lord. Because how can he be good and your mouth always stuck out during the week? How can he be a waymaker and you always complaining? I wouldn't hear about a Jesus either, and you fighting each other every time I see y'all. Y'all stab each other in the back. You never say anything to help each other. You never lift one another. Every time I hear y'all talk about Jesus in the same sentence, you talk about each other. That's why some doubting Thomases in Winfield, because they done heard us who've been in the room lie on each other and tell the truth on Jesus. There it is. There it is. If you got a problem with people, you probably got a problem with Jesus. Because it don't make sense spiritually to love the Lord and can't stand people. That's why folk don't want to hear you, because you're giving split messages. Can you love the Lord when you ain't on program? Can you love the Lord when you're not at the forefront? Do you still love God when they don't call your name? Even though you're not reverend anymore, even though you're not doctor anymore, even though you're not apostle anymore, do you still love the Lord? That's why folk done gave up and don't believe, because of who talking about it. They gonna hear you at 3 o'clock not talk about the word, but talk about what somebody wore. It's all right. I don't care about y'all looking at me crazy. It ain't that you ain't called. You confused. Because you can't speak for a God that you really don't believe in. You can't represent a God and you won't represent what he told you to do. You can't just keep holding that hell in you about your brother and sister and think God gonna use you. And so I understand Thomas to an extent. I'm not listening to y'all unless I see for myself. Oh, you think people come to the room for you. I came to see him for myself. I wish I had about 3 people. I'd be number 4. I didn't come to look at y'all. I didn't come to see what y'all got on. I didn't come to see who gonna sing. I didn't come to see who gonna preach. I came on purpose to meet and lift and glorify my God. So I never leave disappointed. I never leave empty, because I know what I came for in the first place. Oh, Lord. He'll make a believer out of you. He told Thomas, come on, touch me. I heard what you said. Touch me. Here I am. My Lord, my God. No, that ain't what you said. You said you needed to see me and touch me. Touch me. My Lord, my God. Thomas ain't touched him yet. Here's the problem. Thomas Didymus. Didymus is his Aramaic name. Thomas is his Greek name. Both of them mean twin. We don't know where his twin is. I'm going to try again. Thomas, his Greek name, twin. Didymus, his Aramaic name, twin. Who's his twin? Because if I got one that ain't believing and been with me, I probably got some more connected to him that ain't believing in me. If you're looking for the twin of Thomas, look in that mirror. Who in church and don't believe. Got a position, don't believe. You're anointed and don't believe. Because if you believe, you live like you believe. You wouldn't complain. You wouldn't gripe. You wouldn't cut throats, because you believe in him too much to get in yourself. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus told Thomas something. He said, you're okay because you touched me and believe. You saw me. Blessed are those who don't see me. Missed it. You believe because you see me, Thomas. But there's some folk coming who will not see me physically and go steal. I thought I was talking to a real church real here. Thomas, you shout now because you saw me. But blessed, happy, favored, lifted, appointed, covered will be those who believe in me even though they can't see me. If I had 10 people, I don't mind being number 11 with you. Even though I don't see him, I know he's real. Even though I don't feel him all the time, I know he's with me. I can't see him physically, but I live and he lives on the inside of my heart. All glory. All glory. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. I wish I had a witness. So he says, so John says, I slowed it down. Because this isn't all he did. The book can't hold. You can't put it in a canon. You can't limit it to chapters. All that he's done. And there's no point in me trying to include it because he ain't done yet. I thought somebody was going to hear that. I know what he's done. I know what he's doing. And if I keep living, there's more he's going to do. So what's the point in trying to contain something that cannot be contained? The Holy Ghost is like a wildfire. You can't tune it out. You can't contain it. It's too big to contain. Here it is. He said, I got to make believers out of you. Verses 30 and 31 are the thesis or the main statement or the main idea of his whole gospel. So that you might believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, and you might have eternal life through him. I know why you shut down there. Because that don't make you happy. Your back hurt. You broke. You got caught. And right now, that just don't make you happy. But ladies and gentlemen, don't build a house with a garage and an attic and a patio and a kitchen and pools, and you don't have a foundation. Because the big bad wolf called the devil is going to come with stuff in your life, and he's going to huff, he's going to puff, and if you don't have a solid foundation, he's going to blow your house down. But when your life is built on the principles and the power of who Jesus is, when the winds blow, it may take down my window, it may take down my wall, but it can't take my foundation. I can build again. So here it is. So here it is. For us to understand how he'll make us believers, it comes in a couple ways. I hear y'all way too long. What time the saints play? I gauge it by what time the saints play. Or the Cowboys. Colts played Thursday. I got all day. Becoming a believer comes through an awareness of signs. Through an awareness of signs. Through an awareness of signs. John says, and many other signs did Jesus truly do other than what's in this book. Missed it. Missed it, missed it, missed it. It's an awareness of signs. Can I tell you the problem with the 21st century church? If you're traveling on the highway, you see on the side of the road some signs that point you to the attraction. Ladies and gentlemen, the sign is not the attraction. But the sign points you to. It makes you want to keep driving and see what else is in store at this attraction. So it may give you a picture or a portrait of what's available. But it's not the sign itself, it's not the attraction. You shouldn't go to an amusement park and look for the same sign you saw 10 miles ago.
Now I'm at the spot. I don't look for signs anymore because I'm there.
Missed it.
All right. John, wait a minute. John says, I'm not going to give y'all all this in this gospel because y'all think that's all he is. So he limits it to seven. Seven signs or miracles in John. In chapter 2, turns water to wine. Chapter 4, heals the nobleman's son. Chapter 5, the man by the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, feeds the 5,000. And also in chapter 6, walks on water. Chapter 9, opens the eyes of the blind man. In chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Not to mention, he died. You missed it. Not to mention, he died. You can't shout off that? Let me help you shout. They thought they killed him, but he really died. They didn't take his life. He gave up his life. Have you ever had moments? It's miracles in you right now because folk thought they was doing one thing, but they really was pushing you to your purpose. They thought they got control, but it's really the power of God at work in your life. That ain't it. Not to mention, he didn't just stay dead. He got up. Chapter 2, he turned water to wine. Chapter 4, he healed the nobleman's son. Chapter 5, he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000 and also walks on water. Chapter 9, he opened the eyes of a blind man. In chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Not to mention, he died. That's just a bonus that he died. Woo! He died. And didn't stay dead, he got up. Out of a borrowed tomb, being wrapped up and bound up. Now, that ain't the miracle-working power of the Lord. If that don't show you who he is, I don't know what else does. All right. Y'all gonna make me go there. You gonna make me go there. I'm trying to be nice as I can today. Y'all gonna make me go there. Because somebody got some amnesia up in here today. He turned water to wine. If it's some stuff had to transform in your life. He healed a nobleman's son. There were times that you weren't even saved, and he still met your need. In chapter 5, the man was laying around for 38 years. Some of y'all been laying around a long time, and he made you whole again. In chapter 6, he fed a 5,000. Has anybody ever been provided when you had more months than you did have money and you still ate? I ain't through. He walked on water. Have you ever been in a storm and you made it through the storm because he came to you when you couldn't come to him? You ever been blind, couldn't see? He opened your eyes, and now you see them and him. I thought I had a witness. Have you ever been in seasons when you could not see them jokers, could not see them liars, could not see them scandalous folk, and all you could do was hear him, but he touched you and opened your eyes, and now you see them for who they really are, and you see him. Don't get me started on Lazarus. Have you ever been in a dead situation? Ephesians says, you who were dead in your sin, he has made you live. Have you ever been in a dead situation? Stinking longer than you should be. And everybody gave up on you. And God just told you, get up. So you ought to testify right now and take about 13 seconds and give God glory for being I am in your life. Let me tell you something. You can try to write your testimony. You can try to tell somebody your testimony. but you're going to run out of mouth. You're going to run out of paper. When you think about over your life, when I am showed up when you couldn't. Do you have any signs in your life? Okay, I know what you're dealing with right now. I'm asking you, did you have any signs in your already? Has he ever showed up in what you thought was a hopeless situation? Has he ever showed up and showed out in your life? You yourself, child of God, are a sign. When people see you, they ought to see, if he can lift her, he can lift me. If he can bring him out, he might can bring me out. Let me hurry. It's an awareness of signs that just grabs your attention. But what's supposed to happen is, it's supposed to make you want to know not only what has been done, who did it. Okay, if you borrow the money from a big dog, I can eliminate the middleman and find out who really got the money. If I can eliminate you out of it, I don't have to go to you. Because you just got through showing me and living, how did you come out? How did he deliver you? I prayed about it. I stayed faithful. I don't know how he did it. I just know he did it. Who is he? A man named Jesus. Okay. Read chapter 9. The blind man. Them folk didn't ask him nothing while he was blind. But now he's starting to see them and walk without them. They're starting to ask. He looked like the fella that was born blind. He got the same height, same build, same mom and daddy, but his eyes open now. He's changed. And they wouldn't ask him. They asked him. They asked his mom and daddy. We don't know. Go ask him. Mom and daddy didn't know. They couldn't brag and say it's their upbringing, they raising him. Sometimes parents, it ain't you. Oh, Lord. I had to be mom and daddy. No, you had to give it to the father. When you don't know how to be mom and daddy, y'all, you know how to do is put it in the hands of the father. And that's how that boy made the honor roll. That's how that girl made the dance line. That's how they graduated with honors. That's how they became a valedictorian, because you gave them to the Lord. You ain't giving no Jimmy Dean sausage every morning, and that gave them the ability to be smart. You put them in the Lord's hands. Brother, your eyes open. What happened to you? Man named Jesus. Y'all too deep. Man, how come you seeing? Man named Jesus. Now the funny part, the irony to chapter 9, if you read it, I challenge you to read it in your study time. Chapter 9, this blind man. I'm just giving y'all signs, right? This is an example of a sign. Man says, a man named Jesus. If you look at verses 1 through 12 in that passage, Jesus' name ain't mentioned. Y'all, 2 plus 2 is 4, right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. Because y'all act like y'all don't get nothing right now. His name ain't mentioned. But when they ask him, how come you can see? He says, a man named Jesus. Because other folk been touching me. but they ain't gave me what this man gave me. This touch had to come from a man named Jesus. I couldn't see him, but I heard somewhere around the road about him that he can open you up, he can lift you up, he can heal you, he can deliver you. It ought to be some witnesses in the house today who don't mind lifting your hand, waving your hands, and testifying he will do it. If y'all ain't too antisocial, tell your neighbor he did it for me. He'll do it for you too. Y'all missed it. The man didn't point them to him. He pointed them to Jesus. I told y'all earlier, if you give him glory, you get the blessing. Now, when the Lord done worked in your life, stop bragging like you done something special. Give him the glory, and that opens the door for you to get more blessings down the road. So sometimes, Fig, I'm like, you know how I am? Sometimes I say I ain't gonna say nothing to nobody. Sometimes I say I'm just gonna shut up. But when God been good to you, Fig, and you start thinking how good he been and the mess you could be in if he hadn't touched you, you can't shut up. You can't be quiet. So an awareness of signs brings about an acknowledgement of the Savior. So I'm not learning about signs. I'm learning about the Savior. I'm trying to teach this thing. Your life is not built around miracles. Because if you don't have a message or a Messiah, your life gonna be stuck on miracles. Listen, the Pharisees and the chief priests knew he could work miracles. But the problem with them was they didn't want to give him glory. And so they, because they didn't want to give him glory, they sometimes called him Satan. Isn't it frustrating when people try to make you forfeit what you know God did for you? I'm telling y'all, I didn't Google nothing. I ain't went cut off no root of this or that. It wasn't no brown or white egg. It was Jesus. So we got to stop showing up. Oh, Lord, get in trouble. You got to stop showing up looking for signs. And we're in a generation who needs signs for you to believe. Uh-oh. He done showed you enough signs on the highway for you to get to the attraction now. Now it's time for you to pull over and go enjoy the experience of the attraction and stop looking for signs all the time. If you're looking for a miracle, look at yourself. Okay, take about 10 seconds. Just think about how he's been. Think about stuff he's done in your life nobody but him could have done. You ain't that smart. You ain't that brilliant. You didn't even apply for that job. You have enough money to get that house. Your credit won't get it, and you still got it. I thought I had some people who got some signs already in your life. If he never give you another sign, you know your destination because he's shown you enough to love him. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not even written in the book. Stop looking for signs. Now John don't just give you signs in scripture. He give you scripture. Can I prove it to you? I'm trying to give y'all a Bible. Chapter 6. Nobody had a problem, Bruce, with him feeding 5,000. Because it was not just 5,000 men, and then women and children. So between 10 to 20,000 people getting their belly full. Nobody had a problem with that. Stay in chapter 6. And Jesus starts saying, I'm the bread. While he was cooking, I love it. While he's feeding me, I love it. He started teaching me. What are you talking about? I don't get it. Now, while he giving me signs, hallelujah, he make me sit and study, huh? Because I want to feel something, but I don't want to know nothing. I want to be inspired and then be ignorant. That's why we come to revival and don't come to Bible study. If you don't get Bible study after revival, you're just going to wait till next year's revival. It done got quiet. Jesus started teaching and says, you've got to eat of me. I am the bread of life. Eat of me. Learn of me. Hear from me. Mm-hmm. They understood his walk. They loved his work. They ain't like his words. Man, stop all that teaching. Keep feeding us. They got so indignant, ladies and gentlemen, they told him, Master, this is a hard saying. And the Bible says they walked away and left him. Because he was teaching something, not that they couldn't get, they didn't want to get. Dinner time was over, and it was doctrine time. And nobody likes doctrine time. Everybody wants dinner time. Yeah. Feed me, don't fix me. Serve me, don't shape me. Keep coming to this altar wanting a blessing. Needing a miracle. I need to feel something. I need him to do something for me. I don't even know what I need him to do. I just need him to do something for me. He does it, and what else do you give him? Thank God, nobody was left but him and his original disciples. Peter says, he said, you gonna leave me too? Peter says, where else can we go? You don't want to have the words of life. Can you stick with him with no signs? When your life looks like it's not even has any signs, somebody's in that season today. You can't post nothing on Facebook. You can't put nothing on Snapchat to brag about what's going on in your life. And you see everybody else around you who don't even look like they love the Lord. Uh-oh. I think I'm going to cut a slice right there and just stick right there for a minute. You looking around at other folk who look like they got it? The very thing you need. You have no signs. And the first thing you do is start doubting your place with God. He must not love me. I must not be saved enough. Must be something I'm doing wrong. He must have his picks and chooses. Because I have no signs. What do I have to show for saying I'm a Christian? But Paul told us, you're supposed to be walking by faith. And not by sight. How can you walk this walk looking for signs all the time? But you're always able to hear the word. Now faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You want to be a good believer, you got to learn how to feed your faith. And stop looking for feel-good remedies. Uh-oh. Oh, Lord, I thank you. There's word for everything in your life. There's Bible for everything in your life. But if your life is just fixated on signs, you have a very fickle relationship with the Lord. Because whether you know it or not, he did not come here to do miracles. He came to die for your sins. That's what he came to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't just come just to heal you. He didn't come just to give you that house. And so when he doesn't, you got to stop pouting with him. Well, I guess I better get done now. We were all together 5 minutes ago. I had a house full of men. I thought it was going to be a good day. Ham, boy, you know you preached today, man. Now, everybody. Everybody got to go to the bathroom now. Look at your watch now. Because stuff done got real now. Done got real. And it's showing you and I that we ain't in the word enough. Study to show thyself approved. And you know what my shot is? I'm going to shout because y'all through. So I got one more shout. I got one more shout. That I have not given you opinion yet. I've given you straight word. And you know why some of us can't celebrate? Because we don't know the word he's talking about. That ain't in there. Yeah, it is. So when I see the signs, it's supposed to make me have a desire to know about this Savior. And I start spending time with him and learning from him. And I can't even see him. Can I help you there? How many of y'all have just said when something happened, thank you, Jesus? Why would you say that and you ain't seeing him? It's because you know he was the one who made it all possible. Lord have mercy. Anybody ever had a thank you, Jesus, in their spirit? Everybody look at you and say, why you said that? You wouldn't even understand, man. You wouldn't even understand, sis. I got a thank you, Jesus moment some of y'all wouldn't get because you don't know like I know. Woo. Here it is. It's an awareness of signs, acknowledgement of the Savior. It leads to an acceptance of his salvation. The acceptance of salvation. That don't shout nobody. Unless you know what you would be in. And I pray that we start being a kind of people and a church that will shout off the fact I'm saved. That when I mention grace, your life you just get crazy. When I mention the blood of Jesus that washes your sin, it took your black heart and makes it white as snow because of the red blood of Jesus that he shed. My salvation is not in my shouting. I'm shouting because I am saved. I'm not shouting to be saved. I'm not in church to be saved. I'm in church because I am saved. I love you not to be saved. I love you because I am saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here it is. Here it is. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, you always got to make sure that you pay attention to articles. Every word in the text means something. Didn't just say Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the whole Christos, meaning he is the anointed one. Because a lot of fakes and phonies come making you think they are the anointed one. But all those other leaders are a Christ. There's not but one the Christ. The symbolizes the only begotten Son of God, the only one who can make a way, the only one who can die on the cross, the only one who can save my sin, the only one who can bring me out, the only one who can open my eyes, the only one. Stop going to the man and they went to the Christ. Stop going to the woman and they went to the Christ. Stop going to the job and they went to the Christ. Stop going to the bank and they ain't been to the Christ. Oh, I want to shout so bad right now. Because when you live for the Christ, he lets you understand that all of them are a person, a job, a man, a woman, a place. It's not the only. The Christ. Jesus is the Christ. The only begotten, we are Son of God. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. So worship God throughout scripture and even contemporary are made. Gods can be made. Worship, true worship, is made by what you think it's worth. If you think he's worth it, you will put everything you got into it. If you think she's worth it, every reason, it ain't going to make sense to people. They're going to say, you just as dumb as you can be. But when it's worth it to you, you give them everything. But I wish I had about 20 people in this room who can think that God is worth it. That whether people go with me or not, he's worth it. Because he saved my soul. I will not go to hell. I will live and not die. Thirty-six times John mentions life in this gospel. 36 times he emphasizes life. Here's what you got to understand, that you were born dead. But when you are a real believer, you never die again. That's why he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. Life. Life. Here's your shout. Offer Jesus to you on this. Good day. May the Lord God bless you real good. I thank you for bearing with me through this presentation. But when you're a real believer, you know some other folk don't know. That your life is not resuscitation. It's resurrection. Because once I kept born dead, and I love the Lord for myself.